you have your Bible this evening, and let's turn together to the book of Judges. We are working our way through the Old Testament, book of Judges, and this evening we're in chapter 14. And it's interesting, I've never preached through Judges before, so this has been an interesting experience. There's passages in here I've taught or I have preached a passage, but story. But it's really good, I think, for us to go through the Bible systematically, not just to jump around, but to go through books, because we get a fuller picture of the whole counsel of God's Word. And we need all of God's Word. You know, one of the dangers in coming to the Bible is that we're tempted to pick and choose what we want to hear, what we want to listen to. So this helps us because we just take it as it comes. And so tonight we're in chapter 14. Now last time we introduced Samson. Samson was born in chapter 13. Samson is one of those men from the Old Testament that we look at, we read his story, we think about what he did and how weak he was, how he failed in some ways. And in some ways, you kind of scratch your head a little bit and you think, wow, did he really walk with God? He just doesn't seem to get it a lot of times. But then we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the great roll call of faith. Men and women of incredible faith. And God honored their life in that way by including them in that chapter. And Samson is right there in that chapter. So as flawed as he was, as many mistakes as he made, yet the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please God without faith. And Samson had faith, or he wouldn't be listed in that great roll call of faith. Well, tonight we're going to kind of begin to really see the direction of Samson's life, and we're going to see kind of the pattern that we're going to find in his life. And to say it up front, Emma, he had a woman problem. He had a problem with women. And so, Samuel, what we want to learn from this is that you've got to be careful around women. Women are good. Women are wonderful. They are. It's not about a woman or a man. Any woman or any man can be a real problem, or they can be a real blessing. So, you know, we want to listen to the Lord and let Him lead us and guide us. And even in Samson's mistakes and his missteps, the Lord was at work. God had a purpose and a plan. All right, chapter 14, verse 1. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's holy word. Chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them, or he told not them, that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down into the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. They said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Would you bless the reading of your word, and would you help us to have understanding as we look to your word together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, we had an interesting story here. I've called this Samson and the Lion Honey. But what we want to think about is, first of all, the pattern that we see beginning here in Samson's life. And the pattern has, first of all, to do with a woman. Samson had woman problems. So, we see here right off the bat, you know, we consider Samson to be a great man, but he was always looking at the women, and his eye was somehow always drawn to the wrong one. And that's a problem. You know, that's a difficulty when we get into that place. Well, in this case, he saw a woman, and this happened to be a woman in the area near them called Timnath. But she was a Philistine woman. And so the first thing that we see here is that, as his mom and dad said to him, she was a part of the enemies of God. She was a part of the uncircumcised Philistines. Now, circumcision was the sign that God had given Abraham that they were to observe. They were to practice circumcision to indicate that they were God's people. And that was a sign. It was a covenant sign that they had been given. And the Philistines, you know, did not practice this. And so, you know, that's a problem. Because the law clearly tells Samson that he's not to marry a woman outside of Israel. Okay? know, that's not to be done. Well, Samson saw this woman. And that's the other thing, is the word that's used to describe her, it just says woman. You know, it doesn't give us any more information, just woman. But the word is not the word for maiden or for virgin. Okay? So it doesn't give us a lot of information about her, but it's possible that the woman he was attracted to was not the best person that he could have chosen. It could be that it's someone whose reputation is less than the best. In fact, Delilah, when we come to her later on, the same designation is used for Delilah as was used for this woman. Well, now, so here's the interesting thing about the whole thing, though, is that while Samson chose this woman, said to his mom and dad, "This is the one for me, get her for me." And of course, marriages were, you know, pretty much arranged in those days. They didn't just go and, you know, pick and choose one. They would get the parents together and they would, you know, and there would be some kind of a price paid or some kind of bargaining going on, you know, and you know, there was all kinds of these little arrangements that had to be made. Well, you know, the picture that we get here of Samson's mom and dad is a good one. I mean, they objected at first to this marriage because they said, you know, she's not one of us. She's not one of our people. She's not of our faith. And that's important. And that's very important. Well, you know, Samson was determined, and here's the reason why the Lord allowed it, is that it says in verse 4 that they knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. All right, so remember where we are in Judges. We've seen now these different cycles where the people are doing well, everything's good, and then they begin to turn away from God. They begin to forget God. And that's the challenge of prosperity. You know, I've heard coaches say to their teams, when their teams begin to, you know, they get a big lead and then they blow it. And I've heard them say, "Brother Wayne, well, you just can't stand prosperity, can you?" Well, that's the way we are as people sometimes. We forget the source of our blessing. We forget who gave us what we have. We forget who has blessed us in the first place. When we forget, we begin to turn away from God. We begin to put other things in His place. And anything we substitute for God, that's an idol. Anything we put in God's place, we're worshiping an idol. So we begin to turn away. Well, then that brings us down in this cycle. And we're doing a circle here. So we're coming down on this circle and this cycle, and as we turn away from God, then God begins to bring judgment. He begins to bring awareness of the fact we've forgotten Him. He begins to deal with us. You know, as Christians, He first of all speaks to us. He rebukes us, you know. But then if we don't repent, if we don't turn away from our sin, He not brings it up a notch. He raises that up a level. You know, He makes it more severe. He makes it something harder. And He brings something worse upon us. And so it continues on, this cycle. But in the people of Israel, they would turn away from God. God would begin to bring judgment upon them. In this case, it was the Philistines. God allowed the Philistines to take over. The Philistines were ruling the land. And so they were under the Philistines' thumb. Well, the Philistines were pagan. They did not believe in God. They worshipped their own gods. They had their own beliefs. And they were oppressing the Israelites. They were making it difficult for them. Well, so Samson, you know, is being used by the Lord here. And we're seeing God work through this somehow, even though the situation is not the best. And so that's a good word for us, because sometimes we find ourselves in places where we think, man, I should not have done this. I should not have gone there. I should not. And yet, you know what? Even when we mess up, God is able to redeem our mistakes. Even when we sin against God, God is able to take something that is wrong and that is evil and is no good, and He's able to take it somehow and use it for good. to bring good from it. Not that the act was good, not that the consequences are good, but there can be definitely some good things come out of it. We've seen that. I've seen that in my own life. And maybe you have too. Well, so Samson, boy, he's breaking some rules here. Now, the other thing we noticed last week is that Samson, from the moment that the angel of the Lord appeared to his mom and dad, the angel of the Lord told them he will be a Nazarite. Okay, you remember the Nazarite vow? Well, first of all, no razor would come upon his head. Never have a haircut. Okay? No razor. So he would be a rather hairy man. Yeah. He would not drink any wine. In fact, would have no fruit of the vine at all. No grapes, no raisins, nothing. That was off limits for a Nazarite. Now, most people took a Nazarite vow and it lasted 6 months or it lasted a year or something. Okay, but he was a Nazarite from even before he was born. He was set apart for this. And then the other requirement was that the Nazarite was not to touch a dead body or a carcass of an animal. That was unclean. And they would become unclean. And so they were not to do that. Well, what do we see in this story? Well, we see Samson and his mom and dad going down to Timnath to meet with this woman. And verse 5, it says they went down and they came to the vineyards of Timnath. Now, we don't know exactly what's happening here. All it says is they came to the vineyards. But somehow, in this moment, in this story of what develops right here, Samson is separated from his mom and dad. He is not with them. And I have to wonder if he didn't wander over into the vineyards, Brother Wayne, was finding some grapes. I don't know that. Okay, that's my own, my own conjecture there. But it's possible. But anyway, while they were separated, the Bible says, verse 5 at the very end, "Behold, a young lion roared against him." So a lion came and attacked him, roared against him. And instead of, what would you do? You know, if one of these mountain lions in Arkansas that don't exist, by the way, you know, came and attacked you, what would you do? Well, here's what Samson did. He grabbed a hold of the thing and he ripped it into two pieces. Yeah, that's pretty. He tore it in two, Emma. And it compares it to what they would do with a goat kid. When it says kid, it's not talking about a kid. It's a goat kid, okay? So that's an important distinction to make, all right? We want to make sure of that. But they would literally take a young goat and just rip it into two pieces. It's kind of gross, but that's what they would do. Well, apparently that's what he did with this lion. Well, that tells us a little something about Samson. You know, first of all, we know that it was the Spirit of the Lord coming on him that gave him great strength and great power. I don't think that Samson was this huge hulk of a guy. You know, I don't think that he was this enormous man who was just all buff and ripped and chiseled and everything, you know, like Brother Wayne and myself, you know. I don't see him that way. Well, I did see a picture of you like that one time, at least. You remember that? From one of the trips to Memphis, somebody photoshopped your face onto a bodybuilder or something. I don't know where that ever got to. I'd love to have it again just for the fun of it. But I don't see him as being, you know, this huge guy. It's just that when the Lord came upon him, suddenly he had incredible strength. All right? Now, we see also, you know, in the book of Acts, you see the sons of Sceva. You remember those guys who were trying to cast out demons like Paul did? And then the Bible says that the man in whom the demons were overcame them. Seven men overcame. One man overcame seven and, you know, ripped their clothes off and beat them, and they ran from the house wounded. The Lord can give power. Well, the devil can give power too. And, you know, we need to know that. Now, The devil is limited. He can't match the power of God. The Spirit of the Lord, says in verse 6, came mightily upon him. And he rent him. He tore him. It's an incredible thing. And then when he gets back to his mom and dad, he doesn't even mention it. That might be the most interesting part of that account for me, is that, you know, I'd have been back and, took care of a little business over there, you know. Ripped a lion in two, no big deal. Well, yeah, I mean, you'd think they'd looked at him and said, man, what happened to you? But, apparently he did it neatly or something, because there's not even a mention, you know, of anything. And so, but the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, here's one question, though, for us. If the Spirit of God is able to come upon a man like Samson and give him physical strength and power to do something like that, what could the Spirit of God do in your life today? What could He do? What could He enable you to do? I'm not talking about feats of great, you know, strength and you know, stupid stuff that, you know, doesn't amount to anything. But I'm talking about, what things are you struggling with in your life that you need God to help you with? Well, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Samson is able to do great works in us today. And I want to encourage you, when you find yourself facing a lion, when you find yourself facing a problem that you can't change, you can't fix, you can't work through, give it to the Lord. Ask God to fill you with strength and wisdom and power and to help you. And you have a great advantage over Samson. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon men, but He did not live within men. It was temporary. He came and He went. We're going to see that in Samson's story. But beginning with the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, the book of Acts, from then on, the Holy Spirit, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and live within us. So that's an advantage that we have. Well, so Samson goes down, he kills the lion, they go back home, and then when they come down again, notice that the woman had pleased Samson well, it says in verse 7. Verse 8, he returned to take her, and on the way he just thought, you know, I'm going to go look at that carcass. And I can understand that curiosity. He said, I'm just going to go look at that. And he went over and he noticed something weird, because it was like the carcass was moving or something. And he got a little closer and he could see suddenly that there were honeybees. There were a hive of bees living in the carcass, maybe in the rib cage, you know, wherever, and living there in the carcass of that lion. Well, yeah, it's kind of gross, isn't it? A little bit. Would you eat that, honey? No? Well, Samson did. He scooped some out. I mean, think about how sticky that was. And unless he had his ladle with him, you know, I don't know. But, he gave some to his mom and dad, and he didn't tell them where it came from. He didn't say, this is from a dead animal, but here you go. And they ate it and apparently suffered no ill effects. But again, we see Samson missing what God wanted to do in his life. As a Nazirite, should he have gone and touched the carcass of that animal lying there? Well, no, he should not have. He should not, but he did. Well, all right, so we move on from there. We move to the wedding party. And they made a great feast, verse 10. And verse 11, they brought companions for him. Now, these were companions of the Philistines. He didn't bring his own 30. So they provided him companions. And basically what they do when they have a great feast is, the Philistines were pretty well renowned for drinking. So it was pretty much a drinking party. And it was a big, you know, celebration, but it went on for 7 days. And so Samson thought, well, I'm going to have a little fun with these guys. And so he proposed for them a riddle. He gave them the riddle of the honey from the lion. And, you know, how could you figure that out? You know, if you didn't know the circumstances of it, and he hadn't told anybody about what had happened. He hadn't told anybody about killing the lion. He didn't tell anybody about finding the honey. So here was his riddle. He says, out of the eater, verse 14, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And so they began to, I can see those guys, you know, they're all talking about it, and they're trying to work through, and they're, you know, and finally, and it happened the first day, but I mean, finally they said, you know, we don't know what this is. There's no possible way. And if we don't figure this out, we're going to have to give him a change of garments and a sheet that was kind of a wedding garment. Okay, so it would be a pretty expensive thing. Each one of them was going to have to give Samson a change of clothing and his sheet. And if they figured it out, then Samson would have to give all of them one of these sets of clothing. Well, so they thought, okay, what are we going to do here? What's our one place that we can get at Samson? And they decided, well, it's the woman. It's the woman. And so they started working on Samson's bride. And the Bible says that for 7 days, she whined and moaned and cried and carried on. Now that was a joyous wedding celebration, don't you think, Brother Garland? Talk about getting off on the right foot. Man. Well, they had a problem. And because the Philistines had threatened the woman, they said, look, we're going to burn, verse 15 says, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. So you're trying to take advantage of us. You're trying to steal what we have. And we're not going to have it. You're going to have to tell us. You're going to have to find this out. You're going to have to tell us. Or we'll burn you down, your house down with you in it. And so, verse 16, Samson's wife wept before him. And notice what she says. Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. I mean, you know, if this went on for 7 days, you can imagine how that war and war and war. What does the proverb say about the continual dripping? You know, a nagging woman is like a continual dripping or whatever. And this was worse than just nagging. This was, man, she was weeping and crying and carrying on. So there's what you come to, Samuel, when you're dealing with the wrong woman. Thank you for rescuing me there, Marilyn. You just want to be real careful how you step. And Drayton, you want to be careful. You get the right woman. Okay? Okay, he's with me. And all right, so finally, after all the threats and all of this went on, and all the moaning and groaning and crying and carrying on, verse 17, that he told her. He finally broke down. We're seeing a pattern here that's going to be repeated in Samson's life. Okay? And so he tells her. She immediately goes and tells the 30. And so they come, the men of the city, verse 18, said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down. I mean, it's kind of like right up to the end of the clock here. And suddenly, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? Ha! I mean, they were happy. And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer. Now, my wife, and she's not feeling well this evening, so she went on home, but she objects to my use of the term heifer for a woman. But I have met some women that I felt were worthy of that designation. And none of you here, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a light thing. It's not, you know, but, and there are women in the Bible, you know, that we look at. And but what my thought with a heifer is, it's a person who is somewhat rebellious and somewhat unpredictable, and you can't deal with them, and they just make things difficult. Well, at any rate, this is the word Samson used. If you'd not plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have found out my riddle. So he recognized immediately. He knew exactly. So Emma, don't be a heifer. Okay. All right. He knew immediately what had happened and how they found this out, and he said that to them. And then notice, verse 19, this is a fun part of the story. Because now he was in debt. He had a pretty big obligation here. He had 30 sets of garments that he was going to have to give to these men. And it was going to amount to a pretty considerable chunk of change. I mean, imagine if you had to go buy 30 outfits, at the going rate today, whatever that would be. Well, that could amount to a lot of money. And so he, verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon. Now, Ashkelon was some 20 miles away. And so Ashkelon was part of the area of the tribe of Dan. Samson was of the tribe of Dan. The Philistines had taken over Ashkelon. And there was an area there that was very fertile. It was very lush and green. It was a rich, growing area. And I think that had to be a part of the whole process here, is that he went back to the kind of the home of his people. And he took a measure of revenge upon those people. But what he did is he found 30 Philistines down there and he killed 30 men. I mean, we look at the Old Testament and we think, wow, just up and, need some changes of clothing. Okay, just kill some guys and take their clothes and, bring them back. I wonder if he washed them or I don't know. Anyway, let's don't think about that too much. But he brought them back. He gave them to the guys and fulfilled his obligation at the very minimum. But then his anger was kindled. He was angry. He was upset with what had happened, verse 19. And he went up to his father's house. And in the meantime, the woman's father gave the bride to the best man. There's a twist on this wedding, Drayton. There's a twist. Well, there's a lot of issues here. There's a lot of things going on, and we'll see a little bit more about this in the next chapter, because we're not quite done with the woman here yet, and it continues to kind of to grow and swirl a little bit. But here's the thing that we want to think about. Samson was a man very like us. He was a failure in some ways. He messed up in ways. God still used him. Now, could God have done greater things with him than he did if he had walked with God more? I think absolutely. But what about us? Could the same be said of us? Could God use me more if I walked more closely with the Lord? Well, yes. And I think the point is here, God had a special purpose for Samson. He had a plan. And he wanted to deliver his people from the Philistines. When you think about Samson going down and killing 30 Philistines, these were not just, good old boys. These were guys, I don't have any doubt, who needed killing. I mean, there's people that just need killing. I'm sorry. They're just some people that you can't deal with them. You can't reason with them. You can't constrain them, control them. You can't build enough prisons to house them. There's just some people. So, in our day, I would say tell them about the Lord Jesus, give them an opportunity for eternal life. But, there comes a time when the ultimate price has to be paid. Well, Samson had opportunities. And I think some of those times, his opportunities were missed because it was more about Samson than it was about the Lord. I want to encourage you. Our lives are to be about the Lord. God gives us opportunities every day, every week. He'll have some opportunities for you this week. He'll have some things just for you. I mean, nobody else is going to be sitting in your seat this week. Nobody else is going to be in your shoes. Nobody else can be in the places you are, see the people you see, have opportunities. It's like Billy this morning. I was telling him about him laying in that hospital bed in ICU and looking across the hall at that man and saying, I'm praying for that guy over there who just lost his leg. I'm praying for him. Well, God's going to put you in some places this week that nobody, none of the rest of us is going to be. And you're going to have an opportunity to pray for somebody. You're going to have an opportunity to minister to somebody, to encourage somebody, to build somebody up, to witness to somebody, to whatever it may be. And so I just want to encourage you as we get ready to start this week, let's ask God to help us not to miss the opportunities He brings, but to be ready. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life when I've walked away and thought, oh, that was an opportunity. I could have done this. I could have done this. And I missed it. I was not ready. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be ready when He puts something before us. So let's bow our heads. We're going to have a moment of prayer, a moment of just focusing on the Lord, asking Him to help us wherever we are tonight. You know, it could be tonight that you're not even a Christian. Maybe there's somebody here who would say, you know, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. Well, that's the place to start. And if you're not saved, or if you're not sure you're saved, then I want to encourage you to open up your heart to Jesus Christ. And just trust Him. Just tell Him tonight. Tell Him you need Him. Just pray right now. In a simple moment, just pray and tell the Lord. Say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need Your forgiveness. I need Your grace. I need Your help. Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. Change me. Just tell Him from the bottom of your heart, tell Him your need. Ask Him. But there's some Christians here tonight who would say, you know, I know there's times when I mistake the thing that maybe that Samson did, and I start to think it's about me. I want to be focused. I want my life to count for the Lord. I want my focus to be on the Lord Jesus. Let's take that to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who's here. I pray, God, that You'd help them. Lord, because we all struggle. We all have areas where we fail. Lord, we need Your strength and Your help. So, Father, would You fill us with Your power and help us to walk with You and keep our eyes on You. And Lord, as You give us opportunities to serve You this week, Father, would You help us to be ready. Prepare us now, we pray.